Blessing. Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us begin this afternoon worship service with the singing of Psalter 398, stanzas 1 and 2. The Lord upholds the faltering feet, he makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones bowed down with grief are helped by his most gracious hand. And what follows, the stanzas 1 and 2 of Psalter 398. The scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the prophecies of Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 16. But let us first read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now read from Isaiah 42, beginning at verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till He hath set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for His law. Thus saith the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth bread unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord, and declare His praise in the isles. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills, and dry up all their herbs, and I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. That's for the reading of God's word. Let us try to seek the Lord's countenance in prayer.
O
Almighty and eternal Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who dwellest in the highest, and thou who also knowest what lives in all of our hearts, nothing is hidden before thee. Thou hast brought us together in this afternoon under thy words and holy testimony. The doors of thy house could be opened again. It is thy day, the day of the Lord, the day which thou hast set aside, wherein we may lay all our labors aside for a moment, and that we may go up to thy house of prayer to hear what thou hast to say unto us. What a blessing it is that we may still have thy day, that we not have to work 7 days. Lord, wilt thou then give them that we also thy day may use also to that end, may have a delight to go up to thy house of prayer, to be under thy words, but also to spend this day in thy service, also to read thy words, to read also the writings of our fathers. Lord, wilt thou then bless it with thy blessings, or that we would not only come out of custom to thy house of prayer, because it is the way we have to do and we ought to do, but that it may be more, that that longing may be in our hearts, that we may go up to thy house also with a prayer in our hearts. Lord, may it be in this time, in this hour, may it be the set time that thou begin that work of grace in the heart, in the heart of my wife, my husband, my children. Lord, wilt thou then give that we may so sit together here with a praying heart, looking up unto thee, because thy servant cannot convert any of who are here present. It is the work of thy Spirit to do so. But it is in thy providence also that we may be here. It is also the common way in which thou converts thy people, to draw them out of darkness to thy marvelous light. Lord, wilt thou then do it also in this time? Wilt thou remember them to that end? Also thy servant, that he may lay the needs of the congregation before thee, but also that he may receive a mouth to speak to the congregation. Wilt thou work by thy Spirit in our midst? Thy servant whom thou hast placed in this place cannot go before them in this day, because he has another work to do in Calgary, and that we may lay him also before thee, also in the sacrament that needs to be administered. Wilt thou make it well, O Lord? May he taste what he must handle. Wilt thou be in their midst? May they experience that thou knowest of them. What a wonder that would be. But wilt thou then be a surprising God unto them and also unto him? Strengthen and uphold him, because also of the labors what lies before him in the week which lies ahead of us. Wilt thou then help and give strength also for his body and mind, and that he may do these labors not in his own strength, but in the strength given by thee, and that he may testify that the Lord is good. Lord, wilt thou then help and strengthen, give much prayer in the midst of the congregation. Thou knowest also one of the elders hopes to travel on the day of tomorrow to Bolivia, together with others of the mission board, and that we may lay them all before thee. Also, a weighty task lies upon their shoulders, when they must travel to a faraway country, but also to see so the opportunities to bring thy word even in a different country. Lord, wilt thou then remember in mercy, and wilt thou go before them, and wilt thou make it well as thou only canst do. Wilt thou remember all thy servants and all those who may labor in thy vineyard. Think also of him who was scheduled to be in this area in this week. Now he's sick, Lord, and thou knowest how it is with him. Wilt thou also be with him? Wilt thou give that he may experience also in his illness that thou knowest of him? Or those ways of illness that can be so against and is against our flesh, because we want to go forward and then to set aside, as it were, that is so against our flesh. But Lord, may it also be for his well-being, for his soul. Lord, teach him, instruct him, give what he needs for body and soul, for time and eternity, together with his wife and children. Lord, remember so the office bearers also here in the congregation, together with their wives, wilt thou strengthen and uphold them and watch over them, that they may do the labors in dependency upon thee, or that they may look up unto thee. Wilt thou also provide for in the unknown future? Or perhaps there are sitting here in church a young boy, or perhaps an older one, perhaps sometimes looking also to the bench of where the office bearers are sitting, and then, Lord, there may be a desire, or may it also come a time that I may serve in the service of the Lord. O Lord, so often thou hast laid it upon the heart also when they were still young. Oh, what a wonder that would be, called from darkness to light, but then also called by thee to serve in the office. Could it also be in the office of minister that thou would send forth laborers into the vineyard? O soon the curatorium hopes to meet. Wilt thou then make it well, as thou only canst do, if the student which thou hast given, wilt thou be with him on his right and on his left, with the instructors, whom thou also still hast left unto us, wilt thou also be with them? Also him who has a weak health, Lord, wilt thou be with him too in all, also in all the trials which go over him. Wilt thou be with our denomination? Wilt thou work among us, young and old, small and great? Keep us, O Lord, also by the truths of thy words. Wilt thou remember all thy servants, wherever thou hast placed them, here in North America, may also lay the other places in this world, the length and breadth of this earth. Wilt thou give that thy word may go forth in this day with power. Remember the vacant congregations. Help the elders in the reading services. Remember at the mission field, the mission workers, also him who is trained also to be sent out in the next month, may also lay him and his family before thee. Wilt thou watch over him, and may he be given also to be used as a tool in thy hand, as an instrument in thy hand, for the conversion of this one or that one, or for the instruction, for the guidance, for the admonition, or that thou wilt bless the labors also on the mission field. Lord, wilt thou give much prayer in the midst of the congregation? We also remember the work what is done among the Jews, may we lay them before thee. Wilt thou give unto them also what they need, that they may, or that the veil may be taken away which is still upon them, and that they may see and also may believe in the Christ of the Scriptures. Lord, remember also the nation in which we may live, in which we dwell, O Lord. Wilt thou give so to the government what is needed? Lord, wilt thou not give us over to the desire of to the heart of many hearts? Lord, then what we see taking place, then thy word is set aside. Thy institutions are not honored anymore. Thy day is not honored. Also the marriage life is not honored. Lord, wilt thou then remember our nation? Wilt thou give a return to the God of our fathers? Above all, Lord, that thy word may have the authority in our life, but that also thy words may work, that work of grace in the hearts. Our prime minister needs that, and all those in the government needs that, but we need it too. And we so often begin to point fingers so to those who rule over us, but it has ever gone the hand in our own bosom. Who are we, O Lord? May we become a guilty one before thee. Remember so in this afternoon, when we may lay thy words in the midst of the congregation, wilt thou then help thy servant to that end? May there be Aaron's and hers in the midst of the congregation, but above all, that thy spirit may lead into the truth. Or perhaps there are sitting here who have gone up to thy house of prayer with many questions, with many riddles. Or wilt thou then give an answer from above? Or that he may be thy mouthpiece, help then, O Lord, that he may separate the precious from the vile. Help also in the language, that it may be clear and understandable. Work among young and old, small and great. Forgive all our sins. Keep, spare and protect us. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll continue with the singing of Psalter 210, all the stanzas. To God will I direct my prayer, and he will make my needs his care. I trust him still, though in my grief no answer yet has brought relief. And what follows? The stanzas 1 through 5 of Psalter 210.
Thank you.
dear congregation, we just sang together from Psalm 77, Psalter 210. And therein we find a bitter complaint of Asaph. Asaph thought the Lord has forgotten him. When he was thinking former days, it has become so differently when we read in verse 6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. So we see him in the night of his life. It can be also in the life of God's people, those dark nights. And when they can see no light, I think, also in the time what has been, or then it can come sometimes back, the times when the Lord has thought of them, when the Lord, it seems, the Lord was nigh to them, but has become so differently. And what has done the complaint, and what come down a great concern. Then he says, will the Lord then cast off forever? And will he be no favorable no more? Will then never think of me any more? Is his mercy clean off forever? And doth his promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? And has he in anger shut up his tender mercies, Selah? Or then he thought, it goes the wrong way. And so, perhaps also people sitting here in church, and they think also of the previous times and past time, or then it was such, when they came in church, and it was as if the Lord was there, spoke to them. When they opened God's words, they read, or then it declared their hearts. Or there was a longing also to hear of that word. It can become so differently. It becomes cold in the heart. It seems the Lord has forgotten me. The Lord has forsaken me. But then Asaph may do more. Or then he may also say in verse 10, and I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. So then he begins to remember also those times wherein the Lord has so good for him. Our marginal notes of the Dutch Bible, they have such a beautiful note written with it. They say, verse 10, namely that God dealeth otherwise with me now than here before, that he keepeth not always the same course and method in governing his people. God doth all things wisely, and so as it may be servable to the glory, to his glory, and to our good. So then in those ways which the Lord helps with his people, goes with his people, it's also with a purpose. And what is then that purpose? Why does the Lord do that? Because the Lord wants to receive all the honor and the glory. But it is also for the well-being of his church. It is also with a wise way that he does it, because he knows also what the church needs. And we hope also in this afternoon to say something of that Easter, so that the people here in Fort MacLeod, for whom that is not a strange language, or that they say, yeah, I know how the Lord has begun that work. Now the Lord has led me also in former years. But if you know what now lives in my heart, oh, then sometimes a sigh is only remains only. Say, Lord, dost thou still know of me? Lord, may I receive only one word of thee. Go with a sigh to church. Lord, may it be this time. May it also be experienced in this afternoon. The Lord also has a message for such a people. The words of our text can find it in the portion what we have read together. Isaiah 42, verse 16 as our text. Isaiah 42, verse 16. That we read God's words as follows. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. The theme for this afternoon is God's gracious leading with his people. God's gracious leading with his people. I'd like to consider that in three thoughts. A blind people, yet guided. Secondly, an helpless people, yet cared for. And in the third place, a lonely people, yet not forsaken. God's gracious leading with his people. First, a blind people, yet guided. We read that in the first part of the text. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known. Secondly, an helpless people, yet cared for. Because we read them, I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. And in the third place, a lonely people, yet not forsaken. And we read at the close of that text, these things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. May then the Lord lead us into the truth, in speaking, and in listening. Dear congregation, we have a part of God's word, part of this book of the prophet Isaiah, where the text comes from is from the prophet Isaiah, a very well-known prophet in the Old Testament. Who of us does not know the prophecies of Isaiah? Oftentimes there is preached from, oftentimes it is also mentioned in the New Testament, many times it is also quoted. Prophet Isaiah, he prophesied many years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was more than 700 years before Christ. And when he may speak of the work of Christ, when he may speak of the coming of Christ, then he may speak us as if it has taken place already. It is for a reason that he is called also the evangelist of the Old Testament. Because how beautifully he goes into who Christ will be. Also in this chapter, when he speaks about Father's servant, then he has said before us, Christ in his humiliation, but also Christ in his exaltation, who he will be and what his work shall be. And then Isaiah may speak of that. He has also received that commission from the Lord to do so. Isaiah did not walk by himself, but he was called by the Lord. And then the Lord has sent him forth to preach that word. We may believe the Lord has richly blessed that word till this very day. Then he may still speak after that he fell asleep. So Isaiah, a very well-known prophet in the Old Testament, in the chapter what lies before us is also about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you may see, as it were, also the work of Christ. Because in the first one that we read of who he is, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect. Who is that servant? is no one less than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who will be the servant of the Father, who will be sent out from the Father, he who has given himself from all eternity, who has said to his Father, "Lo, I come," in the volume of the book it is written of me, Father's servant. And his Father's time he also came to this low earth, where he has suffered, where he had died, where he was laid in that sepulcher. We have considered that also in the weeks past. But he is also the risen king, because he could not be held in that grave. But that grave needed also to be opened. That stone was rolled away. And their Father's servant was also released out of the grave. And so he was set free. And therein, in that risen Christ, so in that deed of the Lord, wherein he has, as it were, set Christ in freedom, therein lies also the freedom of the church. He is risen for our justification. What a blessing that is, if we may know something of that in our life. The Lord has given us also an insight into those truths. The Lord has not only borne for me, not suffered for me, did not die for me, but he's also risen for me. And he's also, and we hope to see that in a few weeks, he's also glorified for me, and sitteth now at the right hand of God the Father, and there he's now sitting, always being busy for his church, and there his eyes are upon his church. He sees them. He sees them where they are. And so that risen Christ is now also the one who leads his church as a great shepherd who leads his people in love. And now his eyes are always upon him. So when we then see that in this chapter, what will his work be? He shall not cry, not lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax he shall not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. We can read that so through this chapter, what he will do for his church. And now, chosen also to verse 16, therein we see also what he will be for his church. So he begins to speak again. And I will bring the blind. Who is he then? Who is the I? No one less as the one who speaks here in verse 1. Father's servant. He will bring the blind. So he will bring them. What is that? What is that bringing? What is that what he will do with that people? We can also read, he will make them to walk. In the hour of regeneration, already the Lord makes his people to walk. First, they walked in the wrong direction. We know that. By nature, we all do. That we stand with our back towards the Lord. But what does the Lord now do in the hour of regeneration? Then he turns such a one 180 degrees around. What was first with the back to God, now he begins to stand with the back to the world. And now he begins to, there comes a desire to walk, to walk in his ways. And I will make them to walk. It is the Lord who does that. And how does the Lord do that? You say, the Lord does that commonly do under the preaching of his words. That's true. The Lord commonly uses for the conversion of sinners the preaching of the words. That means that we must never leave our place empty under God's word. So when the word of God is being preached, when the Lord and the doors of the house of the Lord may be opened, we must take our places under that word of God. When the Lord sends forth his servants, also with a purpose, to preach that word, and then to lay that in the midst of the congregation, and when the Lord uses that word as a power of God unto salvation, then everything changes in man's life. By his word and by his spirit. But what do we now read in this text? He says, I will bring the blind. So it speaks about a blind people. Blind. We are not born. We are not created, I must say, with this blindness. In paradise, we could see. You and I, we were created in paradise perfectly. But that we have turned our backs to God. That we have fallen away from God. And there we have become blind. Blind as a mole. We cannot see. We will not see. And we sometimes think we see, but we are so blind. But what is now what the Lord says? He says, I will now lead those blinds. I will bring the blind. So the Lord, as it were, begins to take those blind people by the hand and begins to lead them. That's now that wonder, also in regeneration. The people, when the Lord begins that work of grace, you say, their eyes are opened. Do they then not see in that hour of regeneration? That's true. When the Lord begins that work of grace in the heart, then you begin to see what you have never seen before, dear congregation. There the Lord begins to see, to direct your eyes, as it were, inside. Then you begin to see the darkness, the filthiness, what is in the heart. So you begin to see what you did not see before. But now that is a paradox. Now you also become so blind because you do not know the way anymore. You become so ignorant in yourself. You say, but Lord, how must I now go further with me? How must I now go with me? Lord, I do not know the way. I do not know where to go. I do not know where to turn myself. It's also such a people here in Fort McLeod say, yeah, I have sit my whole life under the preaching of God's word. I have heard it so many times. I have heard what the Lord does when he begins to work that grace in the heart. But I don't know how it must go further. Psalm 25 is such a beautiful psalm, is it not? Where in Psalm 25 it is said, teach me thy way. Or then was David also in a state wherein he was so needy of that instruction of the Lord. Lord, teach me, instruct me, guide me, make me also willing to go the way that thou want me to go. And now the Lord says here, thou blind people, what will I now do with that people? I will now begin to instruct them. And I will open that word for them. Or then at times when they come in God's house, come with many questions, with many riddles, they say, how must it go further? And then they may sometimes hear what takes place in the inner room. Is it not a wonder? And then you say in your bench, and then you say, Lord, dost thou now still know of me? Dost thou know of also of my situation? Dost thou know of my questions what live in me? How can the minister know that? Or how can the elder now know that when he is reading that sermon, what lives in my heart? And so then those riddles, those questions, And the Lord begins to answer a blind people. Great blindness by nature, great ignorance by nature, and an heart full of idolatry. But now the Lord begins to open the eyes for it. And people of the Lord, it was not different with you. Now we read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, then we read there, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But now that word begins to shine in the heart. A blind people. It's also a picture of the time in which we live. We live in a dark time, so often we say. And so true, congregation, do we still notice that? When we think of our community, our society, wherein we live, we see also of the nation of Canada, where are we heading, dear congregation? Great concern can fill the heart. We say, where will this end? How long will we still have the freedom to bring that word of God? Is it not become dark in our nation? But you do not have to go that far, congregation. How is it also in our own churches? I think also of our own denomination. Do we say there is much light in our congregation? There is much light in our denomination. Must we not also say what a darkness also among us? No, that we have nothing to be proud of, nothing that we would elevate ourselves, but that we also need to come at that low place. But where Isaiah says, you know, a blind people. Also those who must lead in the church. And then we cannot stand above any. But then so often must we not also say, Lord, I am so blind, I do not know the way. I do not know how to also to deal in these matters. Dark. But now what the Lord promises here, I will lead the blind. I will take them by the hand. I will bring the blind by the way that they knew not. How can we be cured from that blindness? Say that is the almighty power of the Lord himself. We read in verse 7, and if you have your Bible in front of you, then you can read that. It says, to open the blind eyes and to bring out of prison, out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. So there we have again that work of Father's servant. So what is he going to do? He says, are blind people, as it were, that sit in prison. And a prison, that is not a prison where is, as it were, many windows in that prison, but in that prison where that soul is dark, no windows. It is that prison house, no light is seen, darkness. But then to open those blind eyes, to bring them out of that prison, and that sit there in darkness, out of that prison house. What a wonder that is, first time, when some light may shine through, or when a door, as it were, is opened, and some light shines in that prison, and you may see. That is that wonder of free and sovereign grace, and that is now what the Lord does. And that are blind people, that is now guidance. They don't know the way, how to go forward, but they are, as it were, let out of that prison house by the Lord. They receive light from the Lord. And I begin also to cry for light. As we not think of what we read in Psalm 43, that we read of the psalmist, O send forth thy light and thy truth, that they may bring me unto thy holy hill and unto thy tabernacles. Oh, we need that light. We need that light in the preaching of the word. We need that light also in receiving that word of God. Comes a question to you, to me. Have we ever seen that darkness in ourselves? Congregation, have you seen it? Or do you say, what are you talking about? I do not know what you talk about. Congregation, have we ever become, as it were, that we have seen also the dark ways in which we walk? But there comes a need in such a one. O Lord, teach me then, lead me then, and guide me then. Can be also in that the picture of that prison, as it were, that door is once set up, as it were, as a crack. Some light has come in. Some hope has come in the soul. Lord, there must be, there is light from thy side. The door has can be opened a little further. But it seems sometimes the door is closing again and becomes dark again. Oh, what can be a cry in the heart? Lord, remember me in thy grace. Perhaps a word has come to you. The Lord has spoken through his words in your heart. And on a precious word are that sank in the soul. And now, in the first time, you had rejoiced in that light. But it seems the time goes over it. Perhaps the weeks, the years go over it. What is left of it? Perhaps a cry to the Lord. You say, Lord, remember the words spoken to thy servant in the which thou hast cast me to hope. But the Lord, when he has spoken a word in his promise, he will also come back to it. It's not that wonder. You see that in this text. And he will bring the blind by a way they knew not. So it goes through a way that is so often so against also our feelings, against our knowledge. Sometimes we think, perhaps, the Lord does do it wrong in my life. Still, the Lord, in his wisdom, he leads them. I had said in my first point, a blind people yet guided, so they are guided in the way. And so the Lord will lead them, and he will feed them. Isaiah 40 verse 11 speaks of that. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are without young. Like to go to our second point, and helpless people and yet cared for. How do we now see that helpless people here in the text? When we see, he says in the text, I will lead them in paths they have not known, and I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. So he will bring them. He will lead them in the paths they have not known. Helpless people, I call them. So when we see walking in darkness, so in the dark, in that way, lead them on a path they have not known. If they have gone on a path, what is dark? What is in the dark? What is commonly also the condition of one who is walking in dark? Children, what do you do when it is dark? You are afraid. So fear fills the heart when it is dark. brings distress upon us. So by nature too, when we walk in the dark, it brings distress. Zephaniah speaks of that in Zephaniah 1 verse 17. And there the Lord says, and I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. So their distress. Paradise, there was no fear. In paradise, there was no stress, distress. In paradise, there was no darkness. But because of our deep fall in Adam, we have brought that upon ourselves, a fear. Was it not right after that fall in Adam, when the Lord came to Adam, when he called for him, "Where art thou?" Then Adam had to say, "And I feared." So fear came because of sin. And so also our text speaks of that. So that in that path, there's a much fear in that path. Fear and distress. What do we see? What do we have more in darkness? Children, you also know it, older ones, when there is darkness, there's also much discomfort in darkness. So that we cannot see where we walk, that we cannot see the path we go, and when it is a rough path, then you see, as it were, you see it happen. Walking on a dark path, and you stumble in that path, you fall down. So it is also here in this text, it's meant, down in that path, going by ourselves, stumbling, hurt ourselves, dark paths. But now the Lord says, I will make light upon that path. Light is now the opposite of darkness. Light is also a symbol of joy. Darkness, I said, a symbol of fear and anxiety. But where light breaks through, comes also joy in the heart. When the Lord sheds His light upon our paths, gives also a joy in the heart. Psalm 97 speaks of it. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. And in Psalm 112 we read, unto the upright there arise of light in darkness. And in Isaiah 59 we grope for the wall like blind, as we grope, as we had no eyes, and we stumble at noonday as in the night. We are desolate, in desolate places as dead men. But what a wonder it then is if that light may break through. In our thoughts we see that happen there in Jerusalem. And we have considered also the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there we see the disciples that are sitting together with the women, with others. Some rejoiced in the Lord. They have seen the Lord. And we have heard that voice. And he is seen of Simon. The Lord is risen indeed. But there were also many who were fearful sitting there. And then while they were speaking, the Lord himself came unto them. And he stood in the midst of them. And when we hear his voice, and that he says, peace be unto you. So that he may speak of peace. And he showed them his hands. And he showed them his sight. And then they could see it. Then that light was shown upon their pathway. And what do we read of it? When the Lord has given that. And when he has spoken that. Then we read, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So that the Lord begins that helpless people. He has visited them with his salvation. He has visited them also with his coming. And so he has showed unto them also the foundation wherein their salvation is grounded, that finished work of Christ. Darkness, then we see in this text much darkness. in darkness, there's also much danger. The nights are often used also for, we think of the enemies, when those troops come to places in the night, they begin to attack, stumbling in the night, dark ways, taking the wrong way, or what all can take place in that dark night. But when the Lord begins to give light, then He begins to lead them. Oh, then He say, I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things I will make straight. Hope to come back to that more in our third point. I had to think, when I was studying this portion, it's on the Apostle Paul. You see him going from Jerusalem to Damascus, and there a light shone around him. And what do we see of this Paul? He became blind. But it was also for a purpose. The Lord has led him. He needed to be taken by the hand. He was brought there in Damascus, and there Ananias comes to him after 3 days. Children, you know that history. And there the Lord begins to instruct by His servant also this will become an apostle. And so the Lord led him. The Lord cared for him. We read in the text, may darkness light. It implies something. Oh, then when from darkness, a miserable state, come in that blessed state. Again, I can point you to verse 7. Oh, then the door of that prison is opened. They may walk out. They may go into that freedom. And what is that now? Others than, or that is now that fruit of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, He could not be holden in that grave. He could not be holden in that sepulcher, but that sepulcher was opened. And so that stone was rolled away, and Christ could come out. And then what Christ was set in freedom. And what a rich picture lies in that. And now also when we compare that also with this text, wherein lies now also, I mentioned already, the justification of God's people, that lies now in that risen Christ. Or when also that stone, as it were, is rolled away for that people. And when that people now may be set in freedom, they may be set in the light. Oh, that is an helpless people in themselves. And they will remain in helpless people in themselves. But the Lord cares for them. The Lord looks for them. The Lord leads them. And He brings them where He wants to have them. Oh, the Lord calls them. And He sets them in the light. And that light, that is now the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. As Simeon sang of it in Luke 2, verse 31 and 32. Which Thou hast prepared before all the face of the people. So there's that light. A light to lighten the Gentiles and to the glory of the people of Israel. And then Christ Himself had said it. I am the light and the truth. I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light of life. Why is it now possible? Why is it now that our people may walk in the light, congregation? Why is that? Because Christ, He Himself, had to walk in darkness. Christ was there in the dark. Or when we think also of Christ's sufferings, when we think of Christ, when He was nailed to the cross, when He was there in the 3 hours of darkness, there Christ was in the dark. Why? To set the people in the light, that the light also may shine upon that people. He took upon Himself that darkness. So that lies now in that work of Christ. Do we now know something of that? I said, that darkness, or that we have to experience that darkness in the heart, not knowing the way forward anymore. But when the Lord comes now, with His grace, when He begins to declare that word in the heart, begins to speak in the heart, and speak and shed forth that light in the heart, then becomes everything so differently. Or then everything changes in the life of that people. Or then when the Lord gives that light, or then we may sometimes see also in the Word of God things we have never seen before. Because in darkness, when it is dark, we cannot see the signs. We cannot read the signs. When you go from the one place to the other, and it is a dark, pitch dark night, and you come to, what way must I now go? I have no light, and I do not know what way to choose. You cannot read the signs. It is dark. We can have a sign. Can have a sign set up. You have to go that way. But when it is dark, I do not see that sign. So also with the word of God, when we may have God's word, it's such a blessing that we may have. But we need also light upon that word. Otherwise, we cannot see also those wondrous things in that word. So that light of God's Spirit needs to shine upon it. So it is necessary for God's servants when they must explain the word. So necessary for you, congregation, when you must hear and listen to that word. Or that you may have that light. Another example is walking by daylight. We will also see our fellow travelers. When it is dark, you think you are alone because you see no one on the way. But when the Lord gives that light, then you may also see your fellow travelers. And when we may walk on the way to Zion, then you may also see, perhaps, another in whom the Lord has worked. Comes also a friendship. We get to unite with them. Also a fruit of regeneration. Do you know, congregation, that true life that looks for another, that begins to seek also for another, true life that will not remain by itself, but that will seek also that communion of the saints. And is that still found also in our days? Once I read also from a Scottish writer who was studying for the ministry. His father was a blacksmith. And one day he came back to his father's house, and his father said to him, "Now you have to come along with me, and I will also teach you a lesson." And then he brought him into his shop, and there was a big fire and coals in the olden days. That was the way they did. Those coals, they were glowing. Fire was there. They were hot and glowing. Then he took one of those coals, he took them out, and he laid them aside beside the fire. He says, "Watch now this coal." And what happened when they were looking to that coal, very soon that coal became black and became cold. He says, "Will you keep this in mind? When you withdraw yourself also from the communion of saints, so withdraw yourself from God's people, soon this will also take place with you. Therefore, must always encourage one another also that you may seek also one another, to speak to one another, may it also give warmth in the heart. A helpless people yet cared for. Now in our third place, a lonely people yet not forsaken." But let us sing first. Psalter 439, stanza 1. O Israel's God, how good thou art to all the true and pure of heart. Though paths of saints are fraught with evil, and what follows, 439, stanza 1. God's gracious leading with his people, a blind people yet guided, a helpless people yet cared for, and now in the third place, a lonely people yet not forsaken. We read also in our text about a crook in the way, because it says that he will and crooked things I will make straight, crooks in the ways. What must we understand by when the Lord take the crook out of the way, when he make that crook straight? First, the Lord will take away all the hindrances which are in that way. Secondly, he will guide them on their journey. In the third place, he will direct them in the right way. In the fourth place, he will enlighten their dark mind. And then he will correct them. He will guide them, bring them where they cannot come of themselves. And in the fifth place, he will lift them up under all the discouragements, because in the life of God's people can be so many discouragements. Also in an outward sense, what comes to them, they don't know how to go further. But when the Lord takes away that crook out of their way, then they can go forward again. And in the sixth place, the Lord will carry them through all the difficulties. That's not what the Lord will do when He will guide them through those crooked ways. When we have to go into a crooked way, we can be very rebellious under it. Also after having received grace, it's possible. Think only of Asaph. We sang of it, Psalm 73. Then he was angry with the Lord. He was angry when he saw his neighbor doing well, and he himself was chastened every morning. He says, "The way the Lord goes with me is not right." So he was not in agreement with the ways of the Lord. But what does the Lord now do to Asaph? He says, "Asaph, now you have to come along with me. Come into the house of the Lord. I will lead you." So an angry Asaph, a despondent Asaph, is now led by the Lord. And under the crooked way, what he thought was a crooked way, that is now made straight for him. The Lord, he begins to instruct him. Oh, then the outward circumstances can be very different. And now each one of you also knows your own situation. How is it in your family life? How is it in your married life? How is it in church life? And I can go into that, what the many crooks can be in the way we must go. But now the Lord says, "I will take away that crook." So where must we be when we are in difficult ways? Then must we be at the throne of grace, the congregation. Also in natural circumstances, or when perhaps in family, perhaps also in married life, you say, "How must it now go further with us? Or must it not bring us in the first place at God's throne of grace? Lord, teach thou us. Wilt thou then guide us? Wilt thou bring us where we cannot bring ourselves?" Or when there is no light, when we are in circumstances, we can, as it were, groan under it. And then we do not know where to turn. But now when the Lord begins to guide, and we read it so in our text, "And crooked things made straight." Philpott writes so beautifully about that. What does he then say about this? I will read it to you. He said, when the Lord then takes that crook, as it were, away, he says, "The crook is not taken out of the lot," he said, "but straightened in the lot. The cross is not removed from the shoulders, but strength. That strength which is made perfect in weakness is given to bear it. So it was with Christ himself in the garden and on the cross. So it is with the believing followers under the of the crucified one. So Christ was strengthened. So the Lord will also strengthen his own people. The Lord will not forsake them. The Lord will not leave them. A lonely people, yet not forsaken. For we read, these things will I do unto them, and I will not forsake them. Often they thought, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. But when the Lord then sometimes comes also to his inheritance, can speak to them, can a woman so forget a suckling child? It's possible. But I will not leave thee, and I will not forsake thee. And when the Lord gives so strength in the way you must go, or it gives also courage for the unknown future, or then the way can be difficult, but when the Lord knows about it, or it gives a joy also to walk in his ways, then you say even to the Lord, "Lord, thou may not take away from me." Even if it is a heavy way, when it is and cross placed upon his shoulders, but if it is good for me, thou must leave it, because sometimes, also when that cross is taken away, then the people are so afraid, they will go their own way again. So then it is sometimes also good. In the past they say, when you have a clock, you have, when it will run, you have to need have a weight on the clock. So it is also good, so for God's people to have a weight on that clock, otherwise it will stand still. It's time to close. We have spoken a little of the leading, that gracious leading of the Lord with his people. Comes so a question to you, to me. Do we know of these leadings? And the question must now also bring you, may you that take it home. Consider that also the furtherance of this afternoon, this evening. Do I now know a little of that leading of the Lord in my personal life? That the Lord has drawn me out of that darkness. Had the Lord ever showed you what lives in your heart? Have you seen that evil, what lives in your heart? No, don't look to your neighbor, but to that evil, those seeds of wickedness in my heart, that we have seen it. Oh, then you begin, to abhor yourself. Then it is not another anymore, but an I have sinned, and I have done that which is evil in God's sight. Fall down before him, or that you may find that place at his throne of grace. It is still the time, dear children, older ones, it's still the days of grace. The Lord comes still to you with his words. Still, we may hear it. The Lord has still left that dear word upon our pulpits. How long will it still be there? How long may we still have that word? Or may that drive you out to him before it is too late, people of the Lord? How delightful is it to be led by him? Oh, then, time and again, we need to acknowledge the Lord's leading in our life. But also the necessity of those leadings. Perhaps comes a time, or there are sometimes times in your life that you say, I know the way now. I know how to go forward. But when we begin to know it, it will go wrong. So how necessary it is in the morning, people of the Lord, to pray, Lord, keep me. Lord, guide me. And when it is evening again, Lord, guide me. Lord, teach me. So necessary, time and again, oh, that you may be found much upon your knees, cried unto the Lord, draw me, and I will run after thee. Convert me, and I shall be converted. But that we also may rejoice in the way the Lord goes with us. David says it in Psalm 119, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Therefore, people of God, forsake your own wisdom. Forget also your own strength, but now to be led by him, to be led in that way. Or then, must you beg and say, Lord, thy will be done also in my life, and unto follow him unconditionally. Says also in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, quench not the spirit. We can do that also with our rebellion against the way the Lord goes with us. And when the Lord may lead, and when the Lord guides through this way, then he will lead. And in the names of people on earth, I may say with Psalm 48, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Amen. Lord, what is that people, a happy people, who may say that with that psalmist, for this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death, because then he will also be the guide to lead through that Jordan of death, and unto glorify him, and then they will praise him also for the ways which the Lord has gone with them. Lord, those are wise ways. Oh, so often, when we look upon the ways thou goest with us, then we say, it goes wrong with me. But thou art such also a wise God who leads his people, who guides his people, and to be under his guiding, oh, that isn't happy people. And Lord, wilt thou then remember the congregation? Wilt thou work by thy Spirit in the midst of them? Wilt thou watch over them? Remember again, oh, their servants. Or wilt thou then give so to a dear brother what he needs for his body, for his soul, for the time and for eternity? So for his wife and children, may we lay them before thee. Also in this week which we have begun in this day, give help and strength in all the labors which must be done, so to the consistory and to each one of us, also in school life, and those who may teach their children wherever they receive the instruction, wilt thou watch over each one of us. Forgive all what was sinful and amiss, and bless thy words, we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll close this service with the singing of Psalter 149, the stanzas 5 and 6. Upon the Lord thy burden cast, to him bring all thy care. He will sustain, uphold thee fast, and give thee strength to bear. From Psalter 55, the stanzas 5 and 6. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.